views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
AM, the Internet, and beyond. Keeping you informed every step of the way. Don't be left behind. You are listening to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show.
It is Tuesday, December 23rd, 2014. The final Yo Andrew News Talk Show, Yo Andrew Christmas Spectacular. Currently airing on one last time, it's your radio, Round 1 Radio, Best After Dark, Transformation Talk Radio, WBOQ AM 1230, and audio graded. More info on our show. Again, we'll be closing the site tomorrow, www.yoandrewnts.com. Again, you can always tweet me at AndrewTweetGeo, and you can email me the last few hours, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com, and Facebook us at yoandrewnts.com. And, wow, why am I so loud for my mic just got really loud. Don't be left behind listening to me.
It's the most beautiful time of the year. Lights fill the streets, spreading so much cheer. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe.
And there we go. All right, I can hear my voice well in the mic either. All right. Welcome to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show Tuesday night. And again, I'm going to be speaking to you all for one last 2 hours. And let's see if we can do this the right way. My father spectating, as always, Teddy Giordano, social ambassador at one time at the Good Arts, is in the studio. And I'm your host, Yo Andrew. Welcome to the program. Tonight is a special night, not just because it's the holidays or because it is the last time here on the program. We have to put in those knobs because now I'm hearing too much. It is the last program of the Yo Andrew News Talk Show. It is the last. Again, the show might end tonight, but not the name itself. But I have to say, it's been a great run. But before we go into that whole spiel, I want to get into what we've all been wanting to hear, and that's the truly weird stories and the mind-blowing stories of the holiday season. Because it is the end of the month for us. We're not going to be on the air next week. We're going to be replaying this old program. So if you're listening to us on replay, thanks for coming back and listening one last time. I found some stories. They sound a little crazy, yet they're truly weird, and it's a part of the holiday season. We're going to talk about it. One story I found I thought was funny. It was a eBay lister. So what you do when you want to sell on eBay, you go on eBay, and they call it listing, meaning you're able to go sell a product you like. It's more of a garage sale online. Someone decided that they want to sell something on eBay this holiday season. We're all doing it. And they decide that they want to sell a snowman. Not any snowman, though. They wanted to sell a melted snowman. So apparently a lister on eBay decided, starting at 99 cents, it was a bid. So you and others are able to bid on this melted snowman on eBay. Now, the picture has a carrot. It has blueberry eyes in a bowl. That's the picture that we have in the studio. Funny, right? It's a melted snowman. And he's selling it, or she is selling it, whoever that may be. And guess what? If you want to buy it, you have to pay shipping, and that's $2.80. So $2.80 to ship off the melted snowman. Hopefully the box isn't leaking when it gets to the doorstep. Sadly, it expired yesterday. No one bought this snowman or melted snowman. And at least if you want a real snowman, buy the doll Olaf from Frozen. So that was one of the truly weird stories I caught on this holiday season. We have another holiday one. It's not tomorrow night. It's mostly Wednesday, Christmas Day, when you're going to be with the family, you're going to be talking about politics and whatever that may be. And I know in the top of the next hour, when we speak about our top headlines, a lot of it really is including politics. It's just the way it is. You're going to speak with the uncle you don't like, or someone's going to mention that one thing. And I'm telling you, we'll speak about the rules of what you should do. Just not talk. Just nod your head. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be the loser. At the end of the day, someone's going to speak a little bit louder than you. So you just be quiet and just walk away. If you want to speak, get a microphone, build a $3,000 studio, call yourself Yo Andrew, and then there you have it. I call that a better conversation. You're going to be eating a lot of desserts. And I know that those are ready to get their resolutions ready, and those who already lost weight, congratulations. I know People Magazine did a great segment on it. Many are already going to be eating a lot of calories. And we saw a great story right out of the United Kingdom. The world's biggest mince pie packs a whopping 56,000 calories. Even though it's for charity, we saw a bakery come together, Charlotte Shaw, who runs a Lottie Shaw's Bakery, decided to make this 27-inch feast. And believe it or not, it accumulates to 56,140 calories. And she went out and said it took about an hour to cook. It normally takes 30 to 23 minutes. It is huge. She also mentioned, we have made the world's biggest mince pie that actually looks like a pie. It's got the star cut out on top to just as we would with our normal size pie. The only difference is it's a 100 times bigger. The giant pie has to be transported around the bakery by 6 people due to its mammoth size. And I have to say, it does look delicious, though. That's right. We are now drooling. Christmas is coming early. We should make a dessert platter throughout the studio. The scariest bit was probably waiting to find out how we had to cook it. And guess what? It wasn't that hard. Look at that. Big star. Big pie. Truly weird. I think we had another truly weird story. I don't know if I saved it here. Yes, I did. It has nothing to do with Christmas, though. And this is what I want to go into a little bit of a conversation with. And you know me on the program. I love speaking about public schools. And I love speaking about stories that revolved around them. And we saw this holiday season, a principal will be going to the dinner table without a job. Supposedly in New Jersey Public School, a principal reassigned last week after a school sign was misspelled twice. Antoinette Young, the principal of public school number 20 in Paterson, New Jersey, was demoted to a vice principal position at another school after parents discovered a sign in front of the school's side entrance had two serious spelling errors that went unnoticed for more than a week. December was misspelled, and reports were spelled incorrectly as rapport. The number one was also placed backwards on the sign. Of course, the principal has nothing to do with coming out there early in the morning or at night and putting up signs. Officials say the custodian was responsible for the sign spelling errors and added that the sign was placed near an entrance not normally used by staff, according to NJ.com. Again, when it comes down to any mistake at an institution or a sporting team, you know what it comes down to. The head up is going to get blamed. And in this situation, the principal was blamed for a misspelling. Many parents were angry because they felt, why are we teaching our children to misspell? Especially something that's been up for several days. Now, I know that when I was in high school, I'm going to bring myself into the story, I rarely read the sign. I saw it, blinked, happy holidays to you. There was really nothing about it. And even though at our high school, and Social Master Matthew, him and I went to the same one, we didn't have the board where there were letters that you had to replace. It was the digital writing. That's what it was. It was the digital writing.
Where, the outside the school, you mean?
Yes, it was the flashing.
I thought when we were there, it was still
the... Or it was still the numbers.
Yeah, we didn't have the... They got the flashing just recently, maybe 2010, 2011. Because I know they have it now.
Oh, all right.
They didn't have the technology when we were going to
so
school.
So back in our day,
We're old.
So back in our day, you were still able to put gas prices up on the board. It was that simple. Just switch a few numbers. At the end of the day, should the principal have been blamed for this? Of course. It's the principal. You're the one running everything. You're the one looking over that everyone's doing their job. The principal, though, doesn't have the role to do everything either. Now, let's look at it this way. You're the principal. Your goal is not to be involved in everything that goes on or be able to put your input. You hire people in charge to do those things. Again, the head custodian should have been able to look over whatever custodian put these signs up. The principal, again, I don't know if the principal was standing in front of the school every day and reading this sign, or I probably don't think the principal even knew what was even up there. I do know is that the principal, yes, it has the responsibility to look over, make sure that everything is okay, make sure that everything is being run properly. What I do know is that the principal does not have the right to go down and decide what should be, the principal does have the right to decide what should be on the board and what not should be on the board, but the principal doesn't have the right to make sure that the board is up correctly every day. That's not the principal's job. That should be the custodian's job, or the principal is putting trust into the custodians to make sure that the message that we're putting up is correct. I really can't imagine the principal, especially larger schools, should be scanning every day. At the end of the day, though, it's always going to be the manager's fault, the principal's fault, the coach's fault. It's just the way it is. The manager didn't train this person correctly. The principal didn't overlook this particular group of people correctly. That's just the way it is. It's the way it's always going to be. Now, let's look at a mind-blowing story. Because, again, we introduce mind-blowing stories here on the program. We really love the rapport. And I decided I wanted to bring this up today. Now, BuzzFeed announced this a year ago. And if you go on Facebook, you're able to see many... Well, I already knew this already. Well, I didn't know this. And if you're a Home Alone fan, you might have not have noticed this either. So a user last year on Reddit called Matt01SS made the absolutely incredible breakdown of something you might have completely missed in the first Home Alone movie. Now, there are many things in Home Alone that we could speak about. How did you forget your kid, number one? I mean, I can... Again, even though you have your aunts and you got your nephews and you got your uncles, all this family, my mom and dad would probably be looking for me and my brother. It's just that simple. I really can't imagine my mom being distracted by someone else's kid, even if it is her nephew or niece or cousin or sister or whatever. It's usually, where's Andrew? Where's Michael? It's just that simple. And without cell phones, you'll still be seeing that. So, yes, we can go into the whole, okay, Home Alone, just realistically, a stupid movie, yet one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time. When we saw her counting each head, that was one clue, right? One clue of how you forgot your kid. You're in such a rush, even though someone made a good point of, why did no one wake up before the parents? But that's another question. Well, that's true, but hey, maybe someone woke up. They want to get some milk. Oh, wait a minute. Look at the time. Just because the power went out, back then, the uncle might have had a watch on his wrist if he woke up earlier. That's besides the point. She counted the heads and ended up, you know, of course, one kid, he was counted twice again. And of course, they ran through the airport. When you saw them running through the airport, you always wondered, well, where was Kevin's airplane ticket? again, if you counted all the tickets, and we're not talking about the second one, we're talking about the first one. He was not in the airport back then. So he had all these tickets. There was one missing. So the question is, where was this ticket? According to the movie, when the pizza was served to the table and Kevin wanted his cheese pizza and Buzz said, I ate it all, punk. And he, you know, started to puke. When the soda started flying and you saw the father only one time throw out the napkins into the basket, there's a picture of Kevin's airplane ticket in the garbage can. So apparently, there was an airplane ticket in the garbage can. That was his airplane ticket. Now it's in the garbage. Now it's going to a dumpster.
Wow, so I completely missed that. So even if
even if they counted the airplane tickets, at if because again,
even if he made it to the airport yeah. with them, he wouldn't be able to go because he didn't have his ticket. I had never.
Yeah, because think about it. She's giving out each ticket because when they get to the airport, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. It's okay. You just made it on time.
And I'll make sure everybody Let gets me, on.
Yeah, I'll make sure everyone gets on. But guess what? There is about, what, 12 tickets now being given out? This woman's not going to be like, oh, I see you have an extra ticket here. This is not the second one. If you remember, in the second one, she counted each person with the ticket, and you saw Kevin in the front seat showing his ticket. He wasn't. Now, the makers of Home Alone, I'm guessing, didn't show so much significance to Kevin being there, but here's my ticket, Mom. Remember the ticket you threw out that you didn't know you threw out, that many of our viewers saw but many didn't see? Here's my ticket. You gave it to me. I'm going to be on this plane. And, of course, in the second one, he gave the ticket to the wrong person. Yet, when they knocked into each other and the tickets went scrambling, they didn't check his ticket anyway. So it looks like we all learned something. Yeah. And that was our most mind-blowing story that I saw. So now we watch the second movie, and you see Kevin hold his ticket up in the air, and they show so much more significance just because they threw it out in the first one. I'm not saying the parents knew they threw it out. They didn't.
You were talking before about they counted everybody. Oh, they counted one of the kids twice. No, one of the neighbor kids. Remember, he snuck over.
Right. It was the neighbor kids, right.
Oh, you guys are going on vacation. Oh, cool. And he's looking at their suitcase and everything. And then they count him. And then he leaves. Like, oh, bring it back.
Yeah, because there was such a rush.
Pizza.
Right. Yes. And he was looking at the toys. Yeah. I mean, it was a pretty nosy neighbor to me. I don't know. Head off my bag, punk. When I come back, we're going to be speaking about the history of Santa Claus. And how many media outlets have titled Santa. And also, where are the decorations you see around the studio and your house being made from? I'll be right back.
Listen to all the interviews off the air at www.yoandrewnts.com/.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, first off, I really enjoy your commercials about Geico's app. I watch them over and over and over. They make me both laugh and very hungry. Weird. Anyway, I just want to let you know how Geico's new claim status updates on the app really blow me away. Getting those updates makes me think of you. I'd like to thank you in person. Just send me your address. All the best, Big Bad W. Sure thing, Big Bad W. I got a pen. It's 802, not gonna happen lane.
Claim status updates, just a tap away on the Geico app.
Creating the magic of Christmas is easy at the world's greatest toy store, Toys R Us. With thousands of the hottest toys just in, like Snowblow Elsa and new Skylanders Element Packs you won't find anywhere else. Plus, get 50% off the Leapfrog Leapster GS, just $24.99, and up to 40% off all bikes. With expert help and a price match guarantee, only at Toys R Us. Come on,
let's play. Exclusions and limitations apply. Visit Toys R Us for details.
Man, last night we put on an epic light show.
So epic.
The crowd loved us.
Wait, there are only four people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their four faces? Their eyes lit up brighter than ours, and we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going to be out here rocking out our light show at a forest near you, so come check us out.
Check us out.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. they're more efficient than the old bulbs. Like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com.
It's amazing how the world has changed in just several years, especially how we try to figure out who someone is. I know how it is. I'm a radio host, an entrepreneur, and my goal every day is to inform people, but also tell them a little bit about me. Before they go on this program, or before they even listen, the first place they want to go to is your website. And that's why we have www.yoandrewnts.com. We made it so simple to navigate and so easy to look at from your mobile device or from your laptop or tablet. You'll be able to hear who we are, read what we've done the past few years, and even listen to interviews, and you can download it right to your phone or computer and listen anytime you want. That's our gift to you. So what are you waiting for? www.yoandrewnts.com is active from about anywhere, and you're able to view, listen, and be a part of the program today.
He always wanted to be a Rush Hour Renegade.
Hello, San Francisco. We're the Rush Hour Renegades. I'm Joey Gladstone. This is my partner, Jesse Katsopoulos. Say hi, Jess.
24 years later, he settles for Yo Andrew.
Rush Hour Renegades! Coming at ya!
The holidays are here, and we see it is underway, and I know that Christmas Eve is tomorrow night, and I know, we're all under the weather, and I've been under the weather myself the past several days, so if I start coughing, don't mind me, I'll just be in the back, okay? I'll turn up the mics, so no one hears me. No, I think I've been doing pretty good. I know, of course, I stop coughing when I'm on the air. It's kind of a thing I learn. Christmas, though, is right around, and Santa Claus is coming to town, and everyone's all excited. Santa's coming. Santa's here. Right? The big guy in the white beard with the big bag on his back going through a chimney. Yet, so many people tend to not know where Santa Claus came from. Who is Santa Claus, anyway? And, of course, the internet is to blame. It is. I blame the internet. I do blame the internet. Because you're going to see memes and you're going to see people who somewhat become a historian. They believe they know everything about Santa Claus. They know everything about the big, jolly, white-bearded man coming down your street. They think they know everything. Well, they don't. And we don't know much about him either. So, of course, when you go online the day before Christmas, you now begin to see stories of Santa Claus. Now, I thought CNN did it right. And it was titled, I had it here. I know, I'm always losing my stuff, always. I had the piece. No, well, we had three different pieces. We had, what is the origin of Santa Claus? How Santa Claus came to America. And then there was another great piece. Here it is, the real story behind Santa Claus. And it was by CNN. And it was written by Daniel Burke. He was the religious writer for CNN. And he wrote a great piece. Dumbed down, straight out, here it is. Here's Santa Claus. And it starts off like this. I want to get into the story. Imagine Black Friday, Spring Break, and New Year's Eve, then smash them together like sumo wrestlers full of sake. That was Christmas in the early 1800s. Apparently, in the early 1800s, American Christian leaders, most of whom were Protestant Reformation types, banned religious celebrations of Christmas as unscriptural and paganish. But people still want to party, because why not? It was midwinter, the crops were harvested, and sailors were waiting for better weather to disembark. On the 25th of December, working-class stiffs got fold-down drunk, stumbled around the cities, they were looting. It was a crazy day for the 25th. So it's interesting, right? It sounds very similar to what we're seeing right now out in Manhattan. But we're not going to get to that conversation until the next hour. So what we wanted to see more from our beloved residents is calm. A time to appreciate what we have. So let's now go into the 1600s, right? We already were in the 1800s. Let's jump in the 1600s. When the Dutch came to the New World in the 1600s, they brought a fellow from folklore named Sinterklaas with them. Sinterklaas, excuse me, at this moment in time, I still can't read, who wore a red bishop's mitre and a snowy white beard, was based on St. Nicholas, a 3rd century Greek who lived in modern-day Turkey. Now, an archaeologist who dug up his bones in 2005 found that Nicholas had a broken nose, perhaps a result of the persistent persecution of Christians around that time. According to one medieval legend, Nicholas punched a heretic in the nose at the council and the meeting in 325 that formed the first consensus on Christmas doctrine. That could be debated as a myth. Yet, we see many stories of who this man was. People seem to love the story, which pops up like possums in the internet. And that was the myth. But thankfully, St. Nicholas was known for more than brawling. He also had a reputation of giving gifts and protecting children. The first quality comes from a story about a poor man with 3 young daughters. Without a dowry to offer suitors, the man worried that his daughters would fall into prostitution. Legend has it that Nicholas dropped 3 bags of gold through an open window in the man's house, saving the woman from the streets. A second story that comes up every year shows that St. Nicholas, while staying at an inn, discovered 3 dismembered children in pickle barrels. He reassembled and resurrected the Brinny kids and punished the guilty innkeeper. So these were some of the deeds that we hear this man has once did. Now, let's jump into the 1500s. The Protestant Reformation swept away the cult of Christian saints, denouncing them as unbiblical, and Christmas too went pretty much by the wayside for much of Protestant Europe during this time. But some countries, such as the Netherlands, loved the traditions of what Sinterklaas did about giving back to society, especially children. And while a lot of people on the 25th were drunk and looting, many enjoyed the concept of what Sinterklaas did and traditions that started to become around Europe. Instead of showing an example of many outside looting and stealing and getting drunk, they wanted to keep traditions inside, make it a family holiday, a celebration, and really focusing it on the children. That was their goal. Now they could do by turning Christmas into a family event when children were pretty rough back then. Again, there was, there were no child laws. They were able to receive gifts for good behavior. Now, we jump to 1821. An anonymous poem called The Children's Friend featured a magical figure called Santa Claus, who drove a reindeer-led sleigh full of rewards and filled obedient children's stockings with little presents. Strangely, for a seminar professor, we saw Clement Clark Moore writing a poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, better known now, The Night Before Christmas. So, 1821, we're now speaking about Christmas coming to America. We now see how did the tradition of Santa Claus and Christmas come about. It came about through poems. In the early 1900s, Santa became standardized as the white-bearded, red-suited, twinkle-eyed grandfather that we all know and love, and we're not the only ones. Merchants seized on this guy right away. They immediately saw the possibility that the personification could be useful in their selling. In other words, Santa was now pitching in the next Nissan commercial that you see on TV. That is the history of Santa. It's so funny because when we saw the debate last year of if we should interpret Santa Claus as an African-American man, and many came out and said, well, it's a fictional story. So because the story is fictional, we're able to take a story and use our imagination on who Santa Claus might look like. Now, in this piece I just wrote to you, I never told you what color Santa Claus was. And some of us might be able to find out who he was. Well, now in 2005, they buried him up and they saw who he was. I mean, and from looking back on the piece of where Santa Claus was born and where he came about, and if we look back on the piece here, and we can see when he came about. Let's see if I can go back here. Right, Kris Kringle was his name. But they really don't give us much of where he came from, where he came about. What we should have done. Oh, yes, okay. Yes, we found it. Yeah. He was a Dutch, came to the New World in the 1600s, and they brought him with them. He wore a red bishop's mitre and snowy white beard. 3rd century Greek who lived in modern day Turkey. They really don't give us much on what color he was. Now again, I don't think it's a big deal. Because even though the gentleman was real, the story that we see, the poems that we read, the stories that we write, the songs that we sing, we never mention his color. No, that should be a distraction. Because if you remember what we just learned, even though Christmas tomorrow is about Jesus, about giving gifts, and about his birth, when it comes to what we once saw in society, how we treated such a special day, I think it's wonderful that we're able to use a day of the year to appreciate what we have, stopping violence, and maybe speaking about it. And that brings me to the protests we see in Manhattan. You can scream all you want. You can yell until you have no voice anymore. You can say you have rights to do this. But at the end of the day, you are bringing back what once people try to get rid of around Christmas time. And when we play for the 5th year in a row, 12th Night Before Christmas, The Honeymooners, 59 years old, the show is going to be 60 next year. I looked it up. You're going to see how Jackie Gleason, the comedian actor who plays Ralph Cranton, how he describes Christmas in 1955. How he describes Christmas. And we'll go more into in the next hour on what he saw and what we're seeing today. It's sad. It is. How, when we look back at history, on who this gentleman was and what many in Europe decided to create each year around this time, a tradition, to focus on the children, to focus on a time of need, to focus on a time where family could come together and remind ourselves. It's almost like Thanksgiving, but with a little twist. Now, of course, Santa Claus is, you know, him flying on a magical reindeer and on a sled run by reindeer, and of course elves working in a workshop, even though in the movies he looks like he treats his workers well. At the end of the day, it reminds ourselves on what Christmas was founded on and why we sing the songs and we bring these traditions every year. I loved on this program being able to remember how something started. That's why when the Boston Marathon this past April for the second year, when we brought up the story again from the Rolling Stone, we read through it. We remembered it. The same way for 9/11. Because when people start to forget things, they tend to create accusations that are not true. They tend to miscommunicate facts that are not true. It creates debates and violence that are not needed. And it creates no progress in a country that was once founded on good things, on clean land. That's why we bring these stuff back. One quick story that really brings to the whole Santa Claus and the elves is where the decorations are being built. Now, it's pretty obvious. Now, Mashable had a great piece on it. And it started off with the real North Pole is in China. About 300 kilometers out of Shanghai is the town of Yiwu, where 60% of the world's Christmas decorations are made by workers in 600 factories and shipped around the globe. I don't want to go further. I don't need to go into description. Not because I don't care about the issue. Because I do. I care about the issue very much. And one thing that I would have spoke about in 2015 is labor laws outside the country. Now, you know me. I believe in a balanced budget. I believe that money should be focused on the children in need in the country. We give tons of foreign aid to hundreds of countries. Don't know where that money goes. Might be used against us. Might be used for us. I bring two questions. Recently, we saw Tim Cook and Apple again being criticized for how iPhones are built. We saw a year ago how labor laws were being abused. We saw how people were committing suicide in these factories for how they're being misused. And now we see it with Christmas decorations. Now, it's obvious. I don't need to go further. Because you know that the Christmas tree that's lining right in front of me in the studio is made from China. It's obvious. Oh, well, now they call it the Republic of China or the people. They change it now. It's obvious. Well, that's the question. We understand that two things. We are abusing other citizens to do our dirty work. And basic items are not being created in America. Now, I know it's going to happen. I'm waiting for it to happen. I am waiting for the protesters to come out and start going crazy. Waiting for the protesters to begin to criticize if it's a Democrat in office or a Republican in office on how we treat countries to do our dirty work. Why these simple items are not being created in America. Now, don't give me the whole price will go up. Because I promise you, if we're paying good wages, if we are able to create enough supply and get enough demand, if we're able to create jobs and stimulate the economy, I promise you, you will have enough money to buy a decoration for just as much of the price. I promise you, inflation won't be going up, and I promise you, gas prices will go down just as much. Why can't Joey in Illinois make a Christmas tree light? If someone came up to me, and what? Here's a better example. 97,000 are taking the sanitation test in 2015. A city job. Why? Because they give them benefits. Why the pay is good. Why it's a good safe investment for someone's future if the route they were currently want to go on doesn't work out in their favor. So how about we do the same for jobs like this? If someone came up to me and said, Andrew, I'll pay you $15 an hour to work in a factory for 8 hours a day, I probably would do it. Because the two jobs I'm currently working are just not cutting it. So if someone came up to me and asked me, we will let you work $15 an hour, you can, you know, and of course, as you work, you'll raise up to build a Christmas tree year round, would you do it? I would. Of course I would. Sounds cozy. Just gotta train me a little bit. Now, I mean, I can't build a Christmas tree light, but I can at least follow the assembly line. This story has been hidden. I have not seen one news outlet report on it of how 60% of the decorations you're selling, 60% of the decorations you're purchasing is being made by someone else. I'm not trying to take jobs away from China. I'm trying to give them some slack. Because guess what? If you want to build decorations, build in your country. Let us build our own. But China's saying, we're not stealing your job. You're giving us your jobs. If the president wants to create change, if the next Republican wants to get into office, it's a good place to start. Right here in America. And when you see those Made in America promos of the little wallets and the little blankets, I want to see a Christmas tree light next.
Tweeting is new trend. How about Tweet Yo Andrew on the air and off the air at Andrew Tweet Geo.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Sam Tucker woke to find crop circles in his cornfield that spelled out the word Geico. Was this a message sent by aliens? Sam went to Geico.com and saved hundreds of dollars with great discounts. He woke the next day to find new crop patterns had formed. They spelled out, you the man. It seems the aliens were pleased indeed.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
People are always looking to invest in a good opportunity. So what if you could invest in the future of kids, like a stock? Not the kind of stock that's about making money, but a stock for social change, called Better Futures. With your investment, it helps students like me go to college. My name is Charles, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Are you looking for in-store music for your business? Today, Jamendo Music can be heard in more than 3,500 businesses, restaurants, hotels, chains of stores in the world with more than 20,000 hours of music broadcasted every day. Visit Jamendo.pro now and discover our quality music channels. Easy to use and immediately available.
Jamendo.pro, free music for all.
Jamendo Pro guarantees the most attractive rates with no fees to pay to collective rights societies. Jamendo.pro, free music for all.
This is Stereo 1230 WBLQ Westerly Stonington, a DuPonti communication station.
Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us on and off the air with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com.
Sticking with a trend can be very hard, especially for your feet. You wear those Converse for all those years, and before you know it, your feet is bigger than the shoe itself. How about take care of your feet and get expert advice with our friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz, who owns a podiatry practice right here in the Brooklyn and Staten Island area. He treats foot and ankle deformities, sports and walking problems, diabetic feet, injuries and wounds, and many more. Don't be left behind. I want you to go and stop by my friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz if you're ever in the area, or give him a call at his Brooklyn location, 718-627-1212, or his Staten Island location, 718-720-4000. 4848. Don't wait. Your feet needs the care, and why not do it right now? And if you go right now, they might thank you for it.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I am telling you why. Santa Claus is coming
to town. You sing it, Michael Bublé. Not that Michael Bublé was named one of the top five Christmas albums of 2014. Way to go, Michael. I'm telling you. Had a chance to meet the guy. Didn't get to meet him. Now I regret it. I don't know. I love his Christmas album. And if you've been listening to the show throughout the holiday season, we've been playing a lot of Michael Bublé, and I love Michael Bublé. I love Michael Bublé. I love his music, and I especially love his Christmas album. Again, tomorrow and Wednesday, not everyone is celebrating Christmas. Well, you choose not to. So you might be going to the movies. Well, not everyone. Is celebrating the holiday spirit.
I mean, when you think of it, not in the traditional way, but everybody celebrates Christmas. Everybody does something on Christmas, whether it be spending the day with their family. That's
okay.
That's pretty much celebrating the day. Just because you don't go to church and exchange presents doesn't mean you're not celebrating the holiday. Like my family, we're Jewish, so we spend every Christmas going to the movies, eating Chinese food. That's our Christmas tradition.
That sounds delicious right now.
We do it together as a family. We're spending the day as a family. And at the end of the day, isn't that what Christmas is all about? Just spending the day with your family?
That's true. But I guess if you're not recognizing the holiday, so you're not celebrating the holiday per se, but you're celebrating the time of year, maybe that's it?
Yeah, but I mean, you're celebrating that time your own way. And that's honestly why I do not get offended. If somebody were to say, hey, Merry Christmas, that doesn't offend me. Like, this whole time...
I mean, I don't think it should.
And this time, whole time that everybody is offended by everything, especially Merry Christmas, and you have to say Happy Holidays. If someone said to me, Merry Christmas, I'd say thank you, you too. It would not offend me.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it should offend anybody. I mean, if you go up to a... African-American family and told them Happy Kwanzaa, okay,
that's
a little out of touch.
Yeah,
the same way if you go in front of a Jew and go, Happy, well, I don't know if you can even compare that. It's weird. I mean, you and I know that at both of our jobs, we can't say Merry Christmas. You say Happy Holidays.
I say it sometimes. So, like, if I see...
Well, if a customer tells me Merry Christmas, yeah, Merry Christmas to you, too. I'm not going to have a happy holiday.
If I see a customer buying a Christmas tree or buying Christmas decorations and all that, I'll say Merry Christmas, because obviously they're celebrating Christmas.
I don't know. He might be buying it for his Jewish friend, who might be wanting to convert this year. I don't know.
In any case, there are times that I'll say Merry Christmas. If a customer says,
of course,
to me, if a customer
of
says
course,
to me first,
of course,
I'll sincerely say thank you, you too, because it doesn't offend me.
Shouldn't.
Maybe it's the generation that we grew up in, that all the Christmas specials, they would never say Happy Holidays. It would always be Merry Christmas from, like, the Rugrats.
Yeah.
Rugrats would always, like, do a split. Like, there were so few shows that were split. Like, you'd always have, oh, the Christmas special, the Christmas special. Rugrats, they did a Hanukkah special, too, on top of the Christmas special.
Yep.
No, how many other shows did that?
Now that we're speaking about holidays, right before we go into our box office numbers, have you really seen Hanukkah this week? You know, tonight is the 8th night, and by the way, to all who are celebrating Hanukkah like we did last week, happy Hanukkah to you and to all of our Jewish friends in the audience and those who are celebrating. I really felt, unless I haven't noticed it, I haven't seen much of Hanukkah this week. I didn't see much Hanukkah specials.
They never have.
A Crazy Night, so I had to watch it on my own. It wasn't on. I didn't see much Hanukkah music. Unless you were on Sirius XM Hanukkah, you'll be able to listen to all the Hanukkah music. I really haven't seen much. It's been a lot of Christmas specials, 25 days until Christmas. So even though we believe we're being politically correct by saying happy holidays, at the end of the day, Christmas is still well spoken about on television. It's all you're hearing about. You're going to go tomorrow. You're going to want to watch the Christmas movies. Hanukkah, I just felt, was passed by. And when I saw Hanukkah on the news, it was because of something bad, not something good. Do people realize that we saw all this violence going on by protesters in New York and in Cleveland and in Ferguson during Hanukkah? Do these protesters realize that while many families are trying to remember the story of Hanukkah, that they have to be distracted by violence? Do they realize what they're disrespecting? Of course not. But again, when I get to the protest, I'm telling you, I just hate that the protesters have to keep popping up on this program type. That they have to. And that's what they want us to do, but we're not going to do that. Not now. Let's look at the box office. So we have three movies that came out last weekend. And we had some movies that have been around the past several weeks. And then we have some movies that are coming out tomorrow, including The Interview in some places. And we'll get into that in moment in time. So The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, big Lord of the Rings fan, but I never really read The Hobbit per se. They hit a gross of $98 million in 6 days, and they topped the box office. So 6 days in, $98 million. I was getting the notifications over the weekend that they were tumbling their competition. Now, what also came out, Night at the Museum, Secret of the Tomb. 4 days, only hitting $20 million. Probably going to be the last in their sequence of Night at the Museums. Annie only hit $19 million. So they, I mean, $19, $20 million, I always say in this program, it's not bad, but it's not good either. Especially Night at the Museum and Annie, the actors and actresses you're paying, I assume you want some money back. And for Annie to really buy Sony Pictures, by the way, but I don't think Annie had really a big effect, even with Sony and the hacking that's been going on from The Interview. I really don't think that was the blame. I just felt people just weren't attracted by what Sony was giving them when it comes to Annie. We also saw a lot of movies that have been around all through the month of December, including The Hunger Games, that is ready to hit $300 million in about a month in time. We saw Exodus, Gods and Kings, that really creepy movie, hitting about $40 million in 11 days. Big Hero 6, my favorite, ready to hit $200 million in about a month and a half. Penguins of Madagascar, I was supposed to see this movie, and I didn't. It only hit $65 million in a month. And that's the spinoff of the Madagascar, the animals that talk, and we don't want to live anymore. Interstellar, that really been on everyone's mind, $172 million. Horrible Bosses 2, I just saw the first one. I was watching in the studio today. Only hit $48 million in a month. And Dumb and Dumber 2. And about $83 million. And for a movie like that, I would say, it was a hit and miss. You're bringing back an old plot with Jeff Daniels and Jim Carrey, and many, including myself, would go and want to see it. But tomorrow, we see a lot of movies coming out. Unbroken, that movie is coming into theaters. And The Interview. And before we end off the hour, Matt, the question to you first, and I'll answer it next.
Yes, I do want to see The Interview. And
I want to see it too. Not just because of the publicity going on, because right before the hacking began and we found out the reasons of the hacking and then the president and Sony got involved, I wanted to see it. And I remember you telling me you wanted to see it. That's the type of comedy I enjoy.
See,
and I would want to see it too.
I want to see it because, and I know Mario Scipione is probably listening right now, and he's going to disagree with me, but I'm a big fan of Seth Rogen. I like Seth Rogen. I think he's funny. And you got Seth Rogen and Franco, the two best friends.
Yep.
Pineapple Express crew is back at it again.
That's right.
Pineapple Express. This is the end. They're back together for another movie, and it's going to be a doozy.
And it's stupid comedy, but that's what I enjoy. I like a few laughs. Again, I don't appreciate anyone making fun of a dictator or a leader of one's country that's still in power, if you like him or not. I don't think you would like the president of the United States being assassinated. And we probably see movies like that in countries that we might be in battled with or might be on disagreements on.
If we have the time, I just want to point out something. Remember Zero Dark Thirty?
Yeah.
Remember that movie?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, twice in theaters.
Imagine if that movie came out before the assassination of bin Laden. That they kill bin Laden in it, who's still alive.
Interesting.
Would it be considered an act of war? Would the Taliban have threatened retaliation?
Oh, they would have. I think they would have. I think they would have felt some offense to it. And I think they felt offense to it when we show that movie. Because, of course, they'll come out and say that the facts that you're showing of this movie is wrong and true. So I could definitely see the facts being debunked in that movie. And a lot of people in the Navy SEALs and in government were offended by they didn't show enough. But I enjoyed the movie. I thought it gave a good gist on what happened. But I would see the interview. I would. It's the type of movie. I like fiction movies. I like comedy movies. If it's from a movie like Wedding Crashers or Superbad to the internship, to a movie like The Dictator, or to this movie, The Interview. I would enjoy these movies. I would watch these movies. I'll get a kick out of it. I maybe would not get a kick out of it. I like movies like Scary Movie. I like fiction movies, movies that are based on plots, that have a nice fictional to it. I love documentaries. I love animation and cartoon from Pixar, DreamWorks, Disney. I saw Big Hero 6 a few weeks ago. I loved it. I want to see the new movie coming out by Pixar in the next several months. These are movies I like. They're movies I don't like. I don't like sci-fi. Don't like horror movies, any of that stuff. Movies, I'm already over time. I already know it. So these are movies I might not like, but I might like. Main headlines next. We're ending the show in style. Don't be left behind.
Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com.
Way up in the sky, little lit.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, first off, I really enjoy your commercials about Geico's app. I watch them over and over and over. They make me both laugh and very hungry. Weird. Anyway, I just want to let you know how Geico's new claim status updates on the app really blow me away. Getting those updates makes me think of you. I'd like to thank you in person. Just send me your address. All the best, Big Bad W. Sure thing, Big Bad W. I got a pen. It's 802, not gonna happen lane.
Claim status updates just a tap away on the Geico app.
Creating the magic of Christmas is easy at the world's greatest toy store, Toys R Us. With thousands of the hottest toys just in, like Snowblow Elsa and new Skylanders Element Packs you won't find anywhere else. Plus, get 50% off the Leapfrog Leapster GS, just $24.99, and up to 40% off all bikes. With expert help and a price match guarantee, only at Toys R Us. Come on,
let's play. Exclusions and limitations apply. Visit Toys R Us for details.
Man, last night we put on an epic light show.
So epic.
The crowd loved us.
Wait, there are only four people out there.
Yeah, but did you see their four faces? Their eyes lit up brighter than ours, and we're fireflies.
Yeah, we are.
And we're going to be out here rocking out our light show at a forest near you. So come check us out.
Check us out.
Whether you're rocking their world or they're rocking yours, some memories never fade. Come alive with the forest. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a forest near you. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money.
Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.